Ecclesiastes chapter 6. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun. It is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? Verse 12. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Now you want to notice and mark there in verse 12, two times, in the, right there in the first phrase, for who knoweth what is good for man in this life? The two words, who and what. And then again, in the last phrase of the verse, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Who and what? And you see the title of the lesson, who comes before what? Who comes before what? What's a big deal? You know, you often ask young people. I have an opportunity to work with young people, and they grow up, and they're asked the question often, well, what are you going to do when you get finished with school? Well, what are you going to do? Sometimes you're training for it. Well, what are you going to do when you finish? What are you going to do now? Something happens, and people say, what do they say to you? They say, what are you going to do about that? What? Well, the Bible says that who comes before what? Who comes before what here in Ecclesiastes chapter 6? Who, knowing who God is and seeking Him, should come first, and that will settle much of the other, settle all of the other. Who comes before what? Now, notice by way of introduction, these four things that you see listed here. Number one, we see God brings us to a person, not a place. God brings us to a person, not a place. You'll want to take your class to Exodus chapter 19. Familiar verse if you've been around our church for a while. Exodus 19, verse 4. And God's word says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. And God recalling a few things for the children of Israel. And how I bear you on eagle's wings. And notice the last phrase in chapter 19 of Exodus in the fourth verse. God says, and brought you unto myself. And brought you unto myself. Who comes before what? God brings us to a person, not a place. A person, not a place. We say, I talked to a family was visiting our church last Sunday. And from Pennsylvania. And they're praying about moving to Knoxville, Tennessee, Powell, Tennessee. And they think that they're moving to a place. But if they move and God directs them, then God's calling them to Himself and moving to Himself. Had a lovely family in my office today. They've moved from North Dakota. They think they've moved to Powell, Tennessee, maybe even Crown College. But what's really happened in their life is God has called them to a person, to Himself. Because God calls us to Himself. God brings us to a person and not a place. That's a beautiful thing. And Solomon says, who comes before what? Who comes before what? Secondly, by way of introduction, what we do is not as important as who God is. What we do is not as important as who God is. The 37th Psalm, the psalmist said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Proverbs, Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The psalmist says, He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What we do is not as important as who God is. Who God is comes before what we desire. The psalmist is saying there, He's not going to give us everything we want. He's going to change our wanter, if you will. You know? It's like the old preacher said, somebody said to him, I don't know about this thing of being a Christian. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't go here, and you can't go there. And the old preacher said, I can do all that I want to. Oh, really? Well, sure. I just don't want to do those things anymore. Because God changed the desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, who comes before what? What we do is not as important as who God is. The children in Sunday school sing the song, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. What is that? That's God changing the desire. The desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desire. He'll put those desires in your heart. The third thing, by way of introduction, our time with God must precede our service to Him. Boy, that's a convicting one. Our time with God must precede our service to Him. A familiar passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ is choosing His 12 apostles for His earthly ministry. And He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto Him who He would, and they came unto Him. And He ordained 12 that they should be with Him, and that He might send them forth to preach. Now the preaching was going to be important, but not before they were with Christ. It says He called them unto Him, that they should be with Him, that He might send them forth to preach. And Christ called them to Himself. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, remember that great chapter of faith. Remember what it says about Abraham. Very interesting. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out. And then the last phrase in Hebrews 11:8, not knowing whither he went. He left his home. He didn't know where God was taking him, but he was following God. God called him to Himself. Called to Himself. And who comes before what? Our time with God. George Mueller said that the primary business I must attend to every day, this is his testimony, he said, the primary business I must attend to every day is fellowship with the Lord. The first concern, he said, is not how much I might serve the Lord, but how my inner man might be nourished. Who comes before what? And man, we want to rush into service. Everybody has more to do every day than they're going to get done anyway. And surely God wants us to be about serving Him. But God says, no, 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 slow down. Who comes before what? And our time with God must precede our service for Him. The fourth thing we see in the introduction, what we have is not as important as who God is. What we have is not as important as who God is. We've talked much about, as we've been talking about these lessons in Ecclesiastes, about accumulation and the things that we accumulate. Did you see what Solomon says here in verse 3? I don't know if there's a more powerful verse in this passage, in this message, than what he says right here in verse 3. If a man beget 100 children, and Ecclesiastes chapter 6, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. It is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? Verse 12, For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Now you want to notice in Mark there in verse 12, two times, in the, right there in the first phrase, for who knoweth what is good for man in this life? The two words, who and what. And then again, in the last phrase of the verse, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Who and what? And you see the title of the lesson, who comes before what? Who comes before what? What's a big deal? You know, you often ask young people. I have an opportunity to work with young people, and they grow up, and they're asked the question often, well, what are you going to do when you get finished with school? Well, what are you going to do? Sometimes you're training for it. Well, what are you going to do when you finish? What are you going to do now? Something happens, and people say, what do they say to you? They say, what are you going to do about that? What? Well, the Bible says that who comes before what? Who comes before what here in Ecclesiastes chapter 6? Who, knowing who God is and seeking Him, should come first, and that will settle much of the other, settle all of the other. Who comes before what? Now, notice by way of introduction, these four things that you see listed here. Number one, we see God brings us to a person, not a place. God brings us to a person, not a place. You'll want to take your class to Exodus chapter 19, familiar verse if you've been around our church for a while. Exodus 19, verse 4, and God's word says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. And God recalling a few things for the children of Israel. And how I bear you on eagle's wings. And notice the last phrase in chapter 19 of Exodus in the fourth verse. God says, and brought you unto myself. And brought you unto myself. Who comes before what? God brings us to a person, not a place. A person, not a place. We say, I talked to a family that was visiting our church last Sunday. And from Pennsylvania, and they're praying about moving to Knoxville, Tennessee, Powell, Tennessee, and they think that they're moving to a place. But if they move and God directs them, then God's calling them to Himself and moving to Himself. Had a lovely family in my office today. They've moved from North Dakota. They think they've moved to Powell, Tennessee, maybe even Crown College. But what's really happened in their life is God has called them to a person, to Himself, because God calls us to Himself. God brings us to a person and not a place. That's a beautiful thing. And Solomon says, who comes before what? Who comes before what? Secondly, by way of introduction, what we do is not as important as who God is. What we do is not as important as who God is. The 37th Psalm, the psalmist said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Proverbs, Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The psalmist says, he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What we do is not as important as who God is. Who God is comes before what we desire. The psalmist is saying there, he's not going to give us everything we want. He's going to change our wanter, if you will. You know, it's like the old preacher said, somebody said to him, I don't know about this thing of being a Christian. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't go here, and you can't go there. And the old preacher said, I can do all that I want to. Oh, really? Well, sure, I just don't want to do those things anymore. Because God changed the desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, who comes before what? What we do is not as important as who God is. The children in Sunday school sing the song, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. What is that? That's God changing the desire. The desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire. He'll put those desires in your heart. The third thing, by way of introduction, our time with God must precede our service to Him. Boy, that's a convicting one. Our time with God must precede our service to Him. A familiar passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ is choosing His 12 apostles for His earthly ministry. And He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto Him who He would, and they came unto Him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Now, the preaching was going to be important, but not before they were with Christ. It says he called them unto him that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. And Christ called them to himself. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, remember that great chapter of faith. Remember what it says about Abraham. Very interesting. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out. And then the last phrase in Hebrews 11:8, not knowing whither he went. He left his home. He didn't know where God was taking him, but he was following God. God called him to himself, called to himself. And who comes before what? Our time with God. George Mueller said that the primary business I must attend to every day, this is his testimony, he said, the primary business I must attend to every day is fellowship with the Lord. The first concern, he said, is not how much I might serve the Lord, but how my inner man might be nourished. Who comes before what? And man, we want to rush into service. Everybody has more to do every day than they're going to get done anyway. And surely God wants us to be about serving him. But God says, no, slow down. Who comes before what? And our time with God must precede our service for him. The fourth thing we see in the introduction, what we have is not as important as who God is. What we have is not as important as who God is. We've talked much about, as we've been talking about these lessons in Ecclesiastes, about accumulation and the things that we accumulate. Did you see what Solomon says here in verse 3?